Okay, if everyone will stand. The scripture is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you, but rejoice that you share in the sufferings of the Messiah. For in this way also you shall rejoice and be jubilant in the revelation of his glory. If you are insulted in the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. You may be seated.
Good morning. Have you ever heard the phrase, it's going to get worse before it gets better? Of course you have. They've pounded it into our heads more times than the number of McDonald's hamburgers ever made. Speaking of which, have you heard about this documentary movie called Super Size Me? It's about this guy that lives on a McDonald's fast food menu for 1 month. I guess you could call it the Golden Arches diet. Nothing else but Big Macs, eggs muffins, chicken McNuggets, and greasy fries. Well, this gentleman, being under medical supervision, was almost hospitalized near the end of his little experiment. But it just goes to show you how things can get worse depending on what you put into your body, mind, and spirit. Just like junk food, we can feed our heads with mindless mantras of doom and gloom. But don't let this sermon title define your destiny, because there's an opposite sequel that will be coming up next time called It's Going to Get Better. This is an old sermon, but I've never given it here before. I did it around 2008. Having been in Christian Identity since 1976, I was perturbed by the number of carpetbaggers proclaiming as a certitude that the sky was falling and that your only hope was a tinfoil hat or some such thing. You know, charlatans come and go. But one thing is certain, Christ is the head of the body. I've done some editing because some things are outdated, and I can make some commentaries on the theme of things getting worse for 2017. We've just endured 8 years of Negro beast government, so it is rather delightful seeing the distress of Democratic Obama worshipers thinking, they're thinking now the end of the world is near. It's their turn. The mirage of democracy seems to have been reversed, although there's nothing new under the sun for the disappearance of mob rule. Mobocracy is still dependent upon weak minds for a weak future. Our strength for white Christian America is found in Scripture, and the only place where we can find out how to make our nation race great again. You can bet your bottom dollar that things are going to get worse if we will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The God Bless America bumper stickers are good for nothing if our people fail to observe and do all of God's commandments. We are a cursed race at the moment, but we can change that status at any time. There are a lot of silly cliches like, it's not easy growing old, or the more we read, the less we know, or you can't put toothpaste back into the tube. All of which are untrue because the Bible, in principle, says otherwise. Nothing is impossible for God. For the believing Christian, it's going to get worse before it gets better is nonsense. It's going to get worse based on what? Faith and negativity? What's going to get worse exactly? Just things in general? And who says it's going to get worse? Psychics and modern prophets? And what people is supposed to be getting worse for? Where are these terrible things happening? Why will they happen? Do we have a death wish? Are we lemmings? The Middle Ages are often referred to as the Dark Ages. Do you know why? It's because Europe was being Catholicized, not Christianized. The average white man was a slave to the cruelties of feudalism. The Jew was especially targeted in Spain, and rightly so, for usury. This period of persecution proved to be the catalyst for Jewish revenge and the eventual Trojan horse, in which Jews would control the Catholic Church, Freemasonry, and occult secret societies. The Dark Ages would also be the greatest motivation for white Christians to flee Europe and settle in the New World of America. Our people were getting wise to the Talmudic Antichrist. From the 1200s to the 1800s, entire Jewish populations were expelled from practically every country in Europe. The Great Plague started in the 14th century and killed an estimated 75 million of our people. Jews were considered suspect in deliberately poisoning wells, having knowledge of alchemy and the black arts of witchcraft, meaning they knew a little bit about chemistry, having recorded magic potions to kill the goyim in their secret book, the Kabbalah. And it didn't hurt that they were being protected by the Roman Church and tyrannical monarchies. And guess what? In many ways, the Great Plague improved the lot of surviving peasants, but it also strengthened Jewish finance, leading to the House of Rothschild. The aristocracy often tried to stop these changes, like cheaper land prices and more food, that made life better for the average white man. The Renaissance started in the 15th century following this insidious era of Black Death, and so began a paradigm shift, which many consider the embryonic stages of the modern age, whereby white civilization made incredible advancements, including the invention of the printing press and the Bible we have today. If we look at these times of history from God's perspective, we can see that things got worse and better depending on two parties, Jacob Israel versus Esau Edom. In other words, racially pure white Christians in conflict with mongrelized Antichrist. The conflict is ancient and is amplified in the 21st century. Do you think the Jews had the bright idea that they needed to figure out how to keep from being kicked out of one country after another? We can see an analogy today with the rise of the AIDS virus. Because our people refuse to obey God's law concerning sodomites. Sodomy is sanctioned in the Talmud. But some bleeding heart liberals see AIDS as something that's going to get worse before it gets better. Whereas some people, like me, see God doing what man refuses to do, and I see divine blessings simply postponed for a later date. In the meantime, Jewish chemistry has interceded in the water we drink, the air we breathe, and the food we eat to curse our immune system. And we should never confuse our Christian duty to obey God and act according to his law with procrastination, that God will do it all. That's why the kingdom of God has been delayed for so long. God had to interject judgments along the way because his law was not being fulfilled. We shouldn't think that God's judgments are making things worse, but rather that they're corrective measures. An old cliche is that just before spanking, the parent says, "This is going to hurt me more than you." It likewise pains God to reprimand his children, but he does so because he loves us. If you've ever studied propaganda and mass mind control, you'll realize that one of the techniques they use is repetition. Repeat something often enough, and it'll worm its way into the collective mindset, a herd mentality that stops or goes at the same time. We're told over and over again that America's a democracy, and it's not. It's a constitutional republic, or at least it was at one time. Democracy is like when the Israelites made a golden calf while Moses was up on Mount Sinai. It was the rule of the mob. Mobocracy is democracy. Their wilderness experience got worse because they didn't like eating that manna stuff all the time. They wanted a Big Mac. So God gave them all the McQuail they could eat until they puked their guts out and died. Things got better for a few lads. Joshua and Caleb entered the promised land, but it got worse for the mindless majority. This idea of those who would have you believe that it's going to get worse before it gets better is nothing new. There's nothing new that God hasn't warned us about. But there were false prophets among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies. There were, and there shall be. It only gets worse for those who don't heed the divine warnings. In ancient times, there were pessimists, murmurers, and cynics, just like today. Do you suppose that God may have a different perspective on good and evil than the spin doctors trying to form public opinion? You know, those who call good evil and evil good. God doesn't care about opinions and polls or a democratic process justifying political correctness. The Lord cares about biblical correctness. Things will get worse or better only if he says so. That's really the bottom line of this message. It gets better if you listen to the word. There's nothing new until we see what John saw, a new heaven and a new earth. Here's a clue. That's not literal, but figurative language. If we think man belongs in heaven, God's abode, we will only consider our time on earth in a negative light. Is God the light of the world or the light of heaven? You will find no such reference in the Bible to the latter phrase. Are we to believe God or Jews and Catholics as to the status of man upon the earth? Or upon our death, I should say. God said, "No man hath ascended unto heaven." The Protestant Reformation was all about the outrageous doctrine, the selling of indulgences, of buying your way into a fantasy, which the Judaized church has fallen back into, a fantasy life in outer space that demolishes the doctrine of the resurrection. It's going to get worse for those who embrace their spiritual blinders on a false hope, something that is merely a tradition of man, making the word of God of none effect. So is there going to be a rapture for that frog-faced prophet Benny Hinn and his interracial fan club going to God's abode in the heavens while the rest of us racist hate mongers are left behind in a tribulation of hellfire expecting 144,000 Antichrist Jews to convert to Christianity Well, I want to be left behind if that's the case. So I'm not going to hold my breath. The race mixers are going to be raptured, but they ain't going to heaven. And when that glorious day arrives, when they are removed, I don't see how things could get worse. Do you? Indeed, it will finally be a relief to get rid of them. The garden will be weed-free. Have race relations gotten better? Because some people say African-American and not the N-word? Have overtures of respect for the other races diminished the prospect of things getting worse? Or have benevolent acts of bending over backwards to appease other races been a disaster for improving the racial climate? Are we crazy in promoting Muslims into our military to ranking officers while we have wars going on in several fronts in the Middle East? Does America think it's going to be blessed with a potpourri of religions, a pantheon of gods? Yeah, it does. Is that right? No, it's wrong. Should we be praying for leaders of church and state who advocate a religious and racial free-for-all? I think that's what a lot of churches have been doing for decades, and it's only gotten worse. We are now plagued with sanctuary cities, and perhaps a sanctuary state in California. 200,000 Californians are being evacuated right now because the Oroville Dam, the tallest earthen dam in America, is breached from too much water. They had a snowpack this year that doesn't compare until 100 years ago and could possibly wipe out Sacramento, the state capital. Several years ago, get this, $100 million was allocated to fix the dam problem. And those funds were diverted to the damn illegal aliens. The bleeding heart liberals thought they were doing the right thing. More rain is on the way, according to expert meteorologists, and from God. And experts are saying it can only get worse. Do they have the brains to think God is in control? No. We can say that the road to hell has gotten worse with good intentions. But God didn't write good intentions in our hearts. He wrote the law in our hearts with the divine intentions. How on earth can things get better if we confound our self-will with God's will? Some things are still supernaturally engraved on the hearts of white people, regardless of whether or not they're Christians, such as having a racial consciousness and knowing our place with God. The lost sheep of our race have the predestination of finding out the truth of the new covenant, which is racism. In our DNA, the divine nature of Adam, as well as the sin nature from his fall, is in our blood. Moses gave us the blessings and curses in Deuteronomy 28. Jesus gave us his blood for our salvation. Could it be that wolves have disguised themselves as sheep to gain our confidence? For what purpose? It's to displace our relationship with God and destroy our optimistic hope of taking dominion of the earth and thus subverting the faith of our fathers. And then to continually hammer home the idea that things are really going to get bad to keep us in a perpetual state of bungling in the dark with their rapture theory and whatnot. There's an odor of aristocracy in this country, and it's called the New World Odor. It stinks of race traitors and class warfare. Our whole race is a royal priesthood. A common refrain from the Masterpiece Theater of September 11th, 2001 is that things are never going to be the same. Meaning what? That things are going to get worse? Yes! That's the calculated program for the way Americans are to think. Remember, Operation Shock and Awe was designed for us as the target market for patriotic consumption, and we got the Patriot Act, just as much as it was targeted hapless foreigners in the bogus guise of Al-Qaeda, a CIA-run PSYOP. And now we have a similar boogeyman in ISIS, which Trump could spill the beans on at any time, but won't because he is friendly to the Mossad. And it's no big secret that the head of ISIS is Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, also known as Simon Elliott, a Jewish Mossad operative and trained actor. The enemy does not want us to be God-fearing Christians. Instead, they want us to fear boogeymen that crash airplanes into skyscrapers. How do you suppose God feels about us fearing phantom terrorists more than him? The so-called war on terror is just another Jew war spilling our blood to make things worse. Perpetual war for perpetual peace. Love through hate crime legislation. A new world order without God. Even though 9/11 was an inside job, at least 75% of Americans believe that, I can't help associating those two skyscrapers representing the World Trade Cartel with John's revelation that Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. When you think about it, there were no identity Christians in the Twin Towers that perished that fateful day. The people that died were expendable merchants of the satanic Babylon, the money grubbers of world trade. Even Ann Coulter had the kosher conservative insight to comment on the instant millionaires, the millionaire widows of 9/11 spouses, cashing in on a tragedy. It's too bad Miss Coulter doesn't practice what she preaches and follows the money trail to the real culprits, the witches and warlocks in government who cast a giant shadow with smoke and mirrors. The elite globalists got very rich from 9/11, and warmongers of the military-industrial complex got even richer with the saber rattling and rush to bomb villages back to the Stone Age in order to establish a Zionist Middle East. But this final beast empire will fail as it worsens for the rich. The biblical phrase, because of your unbelief, runs throughout Scripture and refers to the victims of liars and false prophets. Do we trust in the future as orchestrated by God, or do we believe the soothsayers of doom and gloom? Have you ever noticed that these apocalyptic fundamentalist preachers are also the biggest promoters of multicultural diversity and integration. Things do get worse for them all the time, no matter how much money they pour into their melting pot of racial equality. It's kind of like the criminal justice system, which has become a growth industry. Churchianity has become a breeding ground for serial sinners. Paul Crouch, CEO of Trinity Broadcasting Network, the world's largest and wealthiest Judeo-Christian media monopoly, has been accused by Lonnie Ford, his male Negro limousine chauffeur, of forced sodomy after he was given a $425,000 in hush money. Crouch died, and it's business as usual at TBN. You can't buy righteousness or a relationship with God, because we've already been purchased by the blood on the cross. And you can't merchandise the sacrifice on Calvary in a Bible bookstore. There may be a major chasm developing on the horizon, but that may be a good thing. When white Christian Americans realize that there is an unbridgeable gulf between Christianity and all other religions, including Judeo-Christianity, and especially Judaism, then things don't necessarily have to get worse before it gets better for us. Christian identity. If we repeat something often enough without challenging whether or not it's biblical, we become victims of a self-fulfilling prophecy, although the thing repeated is false or imaginary. It can turn into reality. We experienced this dilemma with a few Paul bashers several years ago. The most recent example being the 2016 presidential election of Donald Trump. Still haven't heard about my open letter. A self-fulfilling prophecy for those who have the expectation that things will get better after Obama might well get worse. The greater the apostasy, the greater the curse. I've never seen a greater form of mass cognitive dissonance from the radical right of otherwise respectable racists. As much as some people believe in a great white hope, Trump is not that deliverer of true Israel. If anything, the rift between left and right, liberals and conservatives, has gotten worse, even if both sides are kosher. White people need to find their focus in Jesus Christ, not the partisan politics of Marxist dialectics. That's why cultural Marxism is beating Christian culture to a pulp. If Christian identity is to take the lead in Christianity, as far as being right in the eyes of God, we must be objective. We can't make excuses for any leader or president that sells his soul to the devil. We can't turn a blind eye to the Jewish problem. A pastor in our movement recently called Trump our beloved president. Now, I don't know who he's referring to when he says our, but I'd hang on those "he's not my president" bumper stickers, because Christian identity is anathema to his agenda. Why? I watched Trump's first solo press conference last Thursday, and he said, quote, "I am the least anti-Semitic person that you've ever seen in your entire life. The least racist person. I hate the charge. I find it repulsive," end quote. You know, I've quoted 2 Chronicles 19:2, I think it's about a million times now. And one of these days, it's going to stick. "Do you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, the Lord's wrath is upon you." This should become self-evident with his main handler. I'm talking about Trump, or advisor. His own Jewish son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and surrounding himself, as most previous administrations, with a preponderance of Antichrist Jews and establishment types. Yeah, he's anti-establishment, all right, and very entertaining. I admit that I laugh at his sharp wit and acidic ridicule. But of course, and most importantly, between the jokes, he put a Goldman Sachs Jew in charge of our Treasury Department. Are we ever going to learn what Rothschild said? Quote, "Let us control the money of a country, and we care not who makes its laws," end quote. The same preacher sent out an email with the subject title "Prediction," which is the same thing as a prophecy, even though 1 Corinthians 13:8 says there won't be any more predictions of the future. Nevertheless, this enamored preacher flamboyantly proclaimed as he descended from Mount Sinai, quote, "that Donald Trump is going to be remembered in the years to come as one of the best, most determined presidents that the U.S. has ever had. And the sooner they leave him alone and let him do what he does best without interference, the sooner you will see that we are right," end quote. Again, I have to ask, who is we? It's not me. And I hope it's not identity Christians who still possess a semblance of critical thinking. I mean, really, did you hear about Trump's son-in-law, the Jew Kushner? He has received $259 million in a line of credit, 30 pieces of silver, for a new real estate venture called Cadre from none other than George Soros, Rothschild agent extraordinaire. For God's sake, do the math. It doesn't add up. No artistic deal will ever deliver us from the Christ-hating Jews. Only repentance cuts it. Christian identity is only as good as its weakest link in our chain of unity. We have been unmercifully attacked for decades. I suppose some of our ranks can identify with the unfair barrage of diatribe that Trump receives from the media whores, if it's not all contrived theater. But that is no excuse to lend our support or prayers for a Jew lover loving those who hate the Lord. Why? Because we have biblical standards that cannot be cavalierly tossed aside. We do not leave our leaders to their own devices. We hold them accountable. What is it that a king or priest of Israel ideally does best? I'll give you a clue. It's not what Trump is doing. Please don't compare him to the lesser of two evils. Well, we could have gotten Hillary and then put him in a presidential hall of fame. Pastor Elmore published this sermon in its original version in the New Covenant Messenger newsletter. And he added 2 Timothy 3:13 for the scripture heading. I'd like to read William Fink's translation as well as verse 14. Quote, "And evil men and enchanters will advance for the worse, deceiving and being deceived themselves. But you continue in those things you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned," end quote. We've got good teachers, researchers, and scholars. I'm not saying our pastor friend is evil or a seducer, but he is maintaining the muck and mire of the swamp. If I'm wrong in any portion of this analysis, please hold my feet to the fire. Rebuke and humility will heal our errors and really make things better. It's becoming ever so self-evident that there's a war of words being used against us. We can see the manipulation of words and the resulting mischief that even subtle changes create in politics and religion. There really is a sorcery of words or a verbal incantation when the ungodly can make the godly do something against their will, or worse, turn them into willing hypocrites. They can march our boys and girls and sodomites halfway around the world in a fratricidal war to kill other white children with words. They can make men into mice with words. They can take the word of God and make it into a superstition, and they can take a superstition and make it into the word of God. The false prophet pretends to know the future and preys upon the gullible to jump upon their bandwagon. Case in point is the fraudulent state of Israeli in occupied Palestine. The Antichrist Jews could never have accomplished their goals without repetitious prognostications. Their agenda is deception. In this age of media monopoly, those who are fictional Christians or willingly ignore scripture are in a dilemma to overcome the slick defeatism of televangelists and their echo machine in the church of St. Joe of Sixpack. In fact, they think there is victory in race mixing. If they only knew that the Lord blesses those who bless the white race. I know that sounds funny or odd, but what race leads the world in charity and helping the less fortunate almost to a fault? In this age of media manipulation, those who are not true believers or are not well grounded in Scripture are not strong enough to overcome the weakness of defeatist theology. But if God be for us, what media can be against us? Sure, our people are acting like lemmings, but that can change. To believe in this generalization that it's going to get worse is to wave the white flag of surrender and to deny divine intervention and supernatural control of our destiny. I amply illustrated this phenomenon in the story of the Battle of Blood River, in which 468 white South Africans defeated 15,000 Zulu savages in 1838, and not one white man was killed, whereas 3,000 Zulus turned the waters of the river red with their blood. Our people humbled themselves and covenanted with God, who gave them the victory. On the other hand, the man who lives by the evolutionary ethic of survival of the fittest can look forward to living in a zoo or Detroit. We can already see indications of this in white flight-gated communities that become reintegrated. People are looking for greener pastures, but there's just more weeds. We will pull them up by the roots and throw them in the fire when we're finished whining about how it's going to get worse. I want more than just jungle survival among treacherous animals. It's not that man does it all or that God does it all. It's a partnership and relationship between the white race and God that conquers the future. The problem is that most of our kindred don't know what that relationship is. Jesus gave us his example for defeating the forces of darkness. Everything he did was positive to make life better, not worse, on earth for every living creature, including the whales. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent of the Jew parasite and the Browning of America. We must be like the noble Bereans, searching for the truth, studying the Word of God, reminding ourselves that we don't strive or dispute about words that have no benefit to us, and only subvert or corrupt those listening. Allow me to paraphrase 2 Peter 2:16-17. Avoid profane and empty babblings, for they will advance and increase more ungodliness, and their word will consume like gangrene or a filthy disease. Wow. What benefit is there to be constantly harping that it's going to get worse? Several years ago, I dislocated my arm on a hiking trip with my lovely wife. The bone came out of the socket. Which would be of more benefit, for me to whine and snivel about how much it hurts, or to do as my chiropractor suggested and do some stretching exercises under his supervision? And I did the latter, and guess what? It got better. If we preoccupy our mind with doom and gloom, we will be destroyed just as much as a false hope of a distorted destiny. When I was in Vietnam on a free, all-expense-paid vacation by the U.S. Army, I remember someone telling me there's basically two kinds of guys there. Those who always think about dying and do, and those who don't. Needless to say, I made the best of my circumstances. Jesus told us, "Occupy till I come." Do you think the Lord wants to return to a people whose thoughts are occupied with defeat or whose thoughts are occupied with victory. You can't have it both ways. A supposed victory without throwing the tares in the furnace is not only delusional, but a cruel defeat. It's bad enough that some misguided Christians teach the absurd notion that the entire planet is going to be vaporized by misreading 2 Peter 3:10, which says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up." Sounds grim, if taken literally, until you start to rightly divide these words to mean the dissolving of those ungodly elements that will not enter the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. The gory picture of global warming from its guru, Al Gore, paints an earth parched as dry and desolate as Mars. The Bible is an inconvenient truth for many. We have so much hell on earth because of church and state conglomerates in each generation that have usurped the government of Christ with violence. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. Matthew 11:12. It's no different in principle than the Tower of Babel, reaching unto heaven and God being replaced with men. And then you have the false prophets coming along, telling you how great things are while everything is crumbling around you. Trump is going to make America great again for Jews roaming freely, devouring whom they will, or maybe even another fratricidal war with Russia. If they can't sell you the idea of the universe collapsing only to be replaced with something else, the next best idea, a little closer to home, is that America will cease to exist. And along with that false teaching, we get the panorama of every other screwball theology that neutralizes our faith. You will not hear Christian Identity telling you how great the Trump administration is while we are cursed with an alien locust devouring our land. A great president on his first day in office would have given a shoot to kill order of anyone trying to invade our southern border illegally, and to hell with some puke liberal judge in Seattle. Put this in your pipe and smoke it. The other night, there was a beautiful sunset and a big orange X in the sky. If I were the president, these damn chemtrails would not be hovering over America. Either Trump is allowing it or he doesn't care. Fix the scribble in the sky and tell us why. Those who say it's going to get bad want it to get worse. Why? It's because they are the enemies of the white race and the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Their common denominator or denomination is that they are universalists. That is, God sent his only begotten Son to die for all the bipeds of inhumanity. They are void of the godly vision of white separatism and taking dominion of the earth as God commands. And they wind up calling good evil and evil good. They're actually disappointed when the biblical resolve is in effect and things aren't as chaotic as they think they should be. They worship chaos. The message I present is considered contrary to popular paranoia because it is opposed to the propaganda gurus that cash in on their own vain imaginations, and therefore, I'm the troublemaker. And yet, the wickedness they sanction is accepted in their eyes as if it were coming from God Himself. Remember, evil means to spoil or rot, therefore it's good for nothing. Thinking things are going to get worse is good for nothing. It's depraved and disheartening. It's a sad and inferior mentality that I don't want to have anything to do with, any more than wanting to go to a Kwanzaa party. Thinking the worst leaves no room for happiness, and we know misery loves company. We're not supposed to feel sorry for ourselves. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Is Jesus Christ evil when he says in John 16:33, I have spoken these things to you that you may have peace in me. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you know what? So can we. Why would we be told to be overcomers if we couldn't overcome? I'm encouraged by the Word of God that there's a good life waiting for me and you amongst the adversary, if I agree to abide by the conditions that will guarantee those blessings. Yes, there are curses, but that is dependent upon an irresponsible acceptance of false prophets, wolves in sheep's clothing, apolitical pundits, false teachers, mongrel mentalities, and fear-mongers who bring into the body of Christ damnable heresies and lies like it's going to get worse. There have always been optimists and pessimists, those who see the glass of water half empty and half full. When the oft-repeated 23rd Psalm says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We don't get stuck in the depths of despair, folks. We get through it. As we read Luke 21, we see two types of individuals. Quote, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be broken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now some people will be distressed and depressed in their self-pity, and others will be lifted up in a spiritual awakening, witnessing the government of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God is going to be manifested in all of its glory. So how can any Christian say it's not going to get better? It's all a matter of time. Are things Jesus foretold of his return happening? He said it would be as in the days of Noah and Lot. What was going on way back then? It was rampant miscegenation and the squalid perversions of Sodom and Gomorrah. So are these things coming to pass right now? I would have to say that it sure looks like it. Unfortunately, evil prospers when fearful men do nothing. But fortunately, we can be of good cheer when good men are not just hearers, but doers of the word. Scripture gives us the countenance of peace in spite of adversity. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Who is this talking to? And they shall put my name or authority upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Perhaps the reason for a Judaized apocalypse is the jealousy of the heathen world, knowing that they will not receive eternal life any more than a cockroach. They are not true Israel. And so, if they aren't going to be written in the book of life, they will pose every deception to draw us away from God. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Are you beginning to see how God says, woe to those who say, come, join us in hell? In the last 30 years, I've received a plethora of wild and crazy patriotic newsletters and book promotions declaring worst-case scenarios, crying wolf, because the sky, after all, is falling. Every year, the economy is on the verge of collapse, plunging the world into chaos, or an asteroid is about to hit our planet, and there's an imposed all-out martial law police state, or a biological terrorist attack, or 10,000 Chinese soldiers just below the Mexican border, or global warming, or is it cooling? These merchants of fear for profit usually exclude the one and only social chaos survival guide, which we call the Bible. We forget the curses which befall mankind are always the result of sin, unbelief, and disobedience to God. How quickly the self-satisfied man fails to remember his dependence upon God. Are you worried about the criminal Browning of America? The Jewish parasite on our body politic? Or a faltering white birthrate? Then read the owner's manual on racial preservation. Don't replicate a multitude of paranoid delusions, persuading our own kind that the only hope is to not get your hopes up too high. Why not let our hopes skyrocket? People do it all the time with state lotteries and have the money spent before they win it. How about redirecting that kind of energy in visualizing the Dominion mandate as already won? Positive Christianity will get her done. There's nothing new under the sun. There's still Baal priest, used car salesman selling you the end of the world. If we just leave God out of the picture, we can all agree that it's going to get worse before it gets better. We can all be on the same page of self-fulfilling prophecy of pride going before a fall. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read about the examination of life, where wisdom and foolishness differ as greatly as light and darkness, or contrast as much as hope and despair. Ecclesiastes is a critical analysis of the pre-Christian era, and its status then survives us today as a treasure map to find our God and our destiny. Man's wisdom pales into insignificant compared to the magnanimity or greatness of God. Man dies, God doesn't. That stark reality puts things into perspective and puts man in his proper place. When a fool announces God is dead, then begins the slippery slope of secularism and culminates in the progressive worsening and eventual fall of that most mysterious Babylon, the totalitarian government of man. Things will get worse and worse for this political, economic, religious beast, but not for those who count it all joy. Our time on earth is transient, but unlike all the rest of the creation, our life is not without meaning. We read in Ecclesiastes 1, 12 through 14, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. This is Solomon speaking. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of God to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the spirit. End quote. As wise as Solomon was, he fell short of the glory of God, and his vanity meant an emptiness as a result of departing from God and having a bit too many strange wives. If one is empty of the glory of God, is it any wonder why one would also be empty of hope and therefore predisposed to an anticipation of Murphy's Law? If something's going to go wrong, it probably will. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or person of Jesus Christ. And in verse 7, it says, But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This is talking about us being winners, not losers. The potter told his clay pots, this one's a keeper. The losers in history and of the entire world will always be a dog chasing its tail. The futility of going in circles, going nowhere, and being good for nothing explains why some people say it's going to get worse. Do not, therefore, fret about tomorrow, for tomorrow has its own trouble. The care of each day by itself is quite enough. This doesn't mean we don't plan for the future. It means we reap what we sow. With Christ, we are overcomers of the status quo, one day at a time, to prevent things going from bad to worse. The vicious cycle of failure repetition is broken. And the light shineth in darkness. As overcomers, we can say, it's going to get better before it gets even better. And I'll explain that in our sequel, It's Going to Get Better. Thank you.